Backseat Box Office, episode number 41 for the weekend of July 1st through the 3rd, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
Oh, I knew it was going to happen.
You guys did it last time, too.
I just do the best I can do at keeping Jonathan off of his game.
I was distracted, and then I was like, oh, crap, we're starting. I don't blame you, Deuce.
I do. I blame myself.
I blame Tony, number one.
That's fine.
But. I blame society.
Society.
I blame continuity.
I blame the sex bracelets.
Excuse me?
While we were talking and doing stuff, I went to Woot because I was like, oh, I'll just check out some of the sites that I was like,
I saw that.
Yeah, like you can pick red or white, and they don't worry, the colors don't have any meaning like the sex bracelets do the kids are wearing these days. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh, you hadn't heard about that?
I have never heard about sex bracelets.
Okay, so...
Are these the ones that say WWJD on them?
No.
I think that's what would Gerald do.
I'm a little behind the times, but... Go ahead.
Are those jelly bracelets like from the 80s?
Yeah, those really thin jelly bracelets that are...
And apparently they have... The different colors have different meanings.
Yes, and each for each one you wear, that signifies an act that you have done.
Oh wow!
So like
that's
those,
not what I'm reading.
Well, that's what I had heard, and that's why like if you see the girls with like the armful of them, it's like mega
what
slut.
What I'm reading is that there's a game associated with this.
Oh. Don't you think there's a lot of posturing involved though? Because that's part of what teenagers do. Yeah.
Probably,
maybe.
But I mean,
yep.
What I'm reading here is that there's a game with this. If you manage to grab one and snap it off of the person, the wearer's arm, depending on the color of the bracelet that you snap off, that is something that they are willing to do.
Wow.
It's not.
It's like if you pull it off, that's what they have to do it to you then, or?
Yes.
Wow.
Like oh, so blue... indicates that you're willing to perform oral sex on a guy.
That just makes sense.
Let's see here.
So I should stop wearing my blue bracelets, what you're saying?
Yeah, white indicates that the wearer will flash what they have.
So this are we is, talking about bling? Backseat box office, and this we are the backseat producers.
Clear indicates a willingness to do whatever the snapper wants.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow. So I guess this must be like in some way related to the handkerchief in the back pocket thing.
Apparently.
Are you familiar with that? Apparently, that's I want to say it's a West Coast thing. It may just be a San Francisco thing. I don't want to be. I'm not 100% sure about that, but supposedly there's like a website you can visit that depending on the color of the handkerchief that you wear in either the right or the left back pocket indicates acts that you are looking for.
Hmm.
This is for like cruising or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you just know, you know, that guy, this is what he's looking for.
They call it the San Francisco treat, I guess.
These are the things that I need to like look up and find out because I'm so damn clueless that I fear that I'll do something and then find out that
you have to be pretty active though to pull somebody's bracelet off. And do you wear handkerchiefs in your back pocket on a regular basis?
No, but you know if ever like
it's like a rainbow coming out of his back pocket. He wears so many of them.
Actually, here's a picture of a dude.
He looks like a peacock.
Wow, this goes hardcore.
Remember, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Well, I'm on Wikipedia, so I'm relatively safe.
Is it the list of
the handkerchief?
The handkerchiefs? I'd see.
Yeah.
It's amazing the things you learn.
Houndstooth handkerchief. That indicates that you like biting.
So real quick, the handkerchief code, isn't that like the new novel by Dan Brown?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I need someone to help me crack that code. Besides Wikipedia.
Well, Wikipedia is always true. I read that Kublai Khan was defeated in Egypt by Brian Boitano the other day.
I remember seeing those tweets. That was fantastic. I remember, what was it, about three or four years ago, I read on Wikipedia that Hillary Clinton won the presidency in 2014.
That's pretty good.
She won it in general election in 2014. Which was just amazing. And I kept refreshing the screen because I was just fascinated by it. And it was there for a good 5 minutes. And then it was just poof, gone.
You know, Deuce, I do ask myself a lot, WWBBD.
I ask myself that too now. I didn't even know that song existed.
Oh, that's a great song.
I listened to it.
Movie.
It was pretty awesome.
Now, have you seen the South Park movie?
I have not. I never got into it because I never got the show on cable. I didn't have cable, so I didn't.
Well, do you like Gilbert and Sullivan?
I don't know. I guess I don't know what that is.
Oh, they were Pirates of Penzance.
Okay. I see. Again, I only know that through SNL, where he'd be Robert Goulet, like making fun of Pirates of Penzance or whatever. You know.
All right, so. Never mind.
Movies.
So are we gonna start over, or are we just gonna let this train wreck continue?
No,
let it ride. You know what? I say let it ride. Andrew's
once we've
editing.
Taken out half a village, you might as well just keep going on.
We are living up to our old. What was our old tagline? It was a journey of self discovery.
It's an autobiographical cathartic experience through film.
That's exactly what we're doing here.
I do love that first promo you guys did. What do I like about Tony?
Yeah.
Such a damn fine looking man.
It's a good piece of legacy right there.
It tells you exactly how not to make a promo.
Keeps going.
Extremely long, gay innuendo.
3 minutes long.
Longer than a few podcasts.
Literally. Well, you ever listen to the Movie Mantras podcast? That thing's only about 3 minutes long, literally, every episode.
I was going to say, there are episodes of WAP. Most episodes of WAP Caplets are shorter than that promo.
Yep. We didn't know what we were doing.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That is a memorable promo, though. People remember it.
People still talk about it.
People still talk about the gay promo.
Julie's voice, like, every 15 seconds.
Backseat producer.
No, it's family's backseat.
I laid down some mean beats on that, though. I'm not gonna miss that. That was awesome.
Yep, that was original music.
We should probably stop killing villagers, though, and talk about movies.
Oh, damn those villagers.
So, this is how things happened last weekend. Cars 2 debuted at number 1 with $66 million. Bad Teacher debuted at number 2 with $31 million. Green Lantern came in third with $18 million. Super 8 dropped to 4 with $12 million. And good old Mr. Popper and his Penguins rolled in at 5 with $10 million. I did damn good. Jonathan, how'd you do?
We got to go down to good. 6. Just if we're going to look at like what everybody picked, there was one person that did pick down to number 6.
Number 6 was X-Men First Class. And actually, I would like to point at Bridesmaids at number 8. That movie has brought in $146 million domestically on a $32 million budget.
It just keeps only losing about a quarter of its box office every week. That's amazing.
It had about 3 weeks when its drop off was in the teens.
Yeah. What's really funny is if the percentage of drop off stays, it will be higher than Hangover 2 next week.
Yeah, despite coming out 2 weeks earlier.
Though. Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, despite the fact that, I mean, Hangover 2 did bring in about 100, so far it's run about 100 million more, but
that budget was high for Hangover 2, though. Hangover Part 2's budget, I think, was $100 million.
Well, they also had to add some more to the budget on the back end.
That's true.
Because of the settlement.
Yeah.
We still haven't heard.
The officially reported budget was $80 million, according to Box Office Mojo. I don't know what exactly that entails, but
yeah,
who knows?
Well, there's also the additional settlement that from the tattoo lawsuit.
And how much did they settle for, Tony?
That has not been disclosed.
Gotcha.
May never be disclosed.
It may never be, and I don't know. I know somebody who does know because he was the attorney on the lawsuit, but I have not spoke to him. And even if I would, I probably wouldn't say because it's probably not supposed to be disclosed.
No. He wouldn't tell you.
No, he wouldn't tell me. And that's fine. I'm more interested in the ins and outs of the legality of it. But yeah, so they had to pay a little more than $80 million, I think.
Yeah, so, and who knows if that's included in the production budget or if it's somewhere in, you know.
The settlement wouldn't have been that much.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying. I was like, that's pretty
high. No, I'm not saying the settlement would have been more than $80 million. I'm saying they reported their budget was $80 million, but I think in the end, because of the settlement, it's going to be more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did amazingly well. Got them all right. Jonathan, how'd you do?
Well, since you copied me. I did amazingly well and got them all right.
Now, I'm curious about your logic here. I called mine in and hadn't heard what you'd said, so how did I copy you?
Well, yeah, did you call them in?
The day after the show recorded, Thursday.
Yeah, so you would have had plenty of time to get access to.
And how would I have gotten access to it?
The Dropbox.
There would have been easy access to the raw audio, and you could have found out.
To be fair, that is accurate.
There's no way I can prove it, but it's a lot more likely than you just coming up with it on your own.
That was well played. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, no, I did not. I will now officially put in my official rebuttal that I had no knowledge of your picks at the time I made mine. In fact, I think it's probably more likely that you copied off me.
Yeah, see, the timetable actually really does work out that that's impossible.
No, because, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys might have delayed recording till Thursday since I wasn't going to be on. And there you had access to my audio at the time.
No, because we were like, screw you. I mean, why would we delay for you?
Because...
But once again, it's far more likely that we're going to, you know, say, let Andrew ride, then maybe we should wait.
I don't believe that. I don't think the listeners believe it either. I'm pretty sure the listeners are going to rally behind me on this one.
I wish you luck with that.
In fact, listeners, if you agree with me, say nothing at all. I appreciate it. Anyway. By your silence, I'm going to take it that you accept my version of events.
What's going to be fantastic is if we get the most voicemails of any other show ever because of people calling in going, yeah, you're wrong, Andrew.
Well, I'll go ahead and guarantee that Rich does that. I will guarantee you Rich will take the time
to actually leave a message. He has left one in
my version of event.
I will go to all of my friends and family and be like, look, call this number, say, yeah, no, Andrew's wrong, and then hang up. That's all you have to do.
That would be brilliant. That will be, I will have a 45 minute long, actually, it'll probably be like an hour long backseat box office next week, just editing all that crap together.
So you're going to skew the sample size, the population of the sample, then, is what you're saying.
Just because, I mean, it's accurate, so. It doesn't matter if it's skewed, it's accurate.
Jonathan, don't you have like an H2 or an H4?
Oh, yeah.
You just get the man
on the street.
Yeah, just walk around to people in the street. Hey, just say, yeah, Andrew was wrong. Yeah, so what's coming out this week?
Oh, Tony, how'd you do?
Oh, that I chose poorly. I had Cars 2 at number one, which I think we had that as a default. Everyone had to pick that. I don't think we really gave anyone a choice.
I would hope not.
Yeah, we actually offered to fix it for people if necessary.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things that you missed by not listening to the episode last week. Yeah. was that we said, if you just happen to accidentally not pick Cars at number one, we'll fix that for you.
Just give you the benefit of the doubt. I think we're going to have to do that again this week.
Probably, yeah. Anyway, I picked Green Lantern at number two and Bad Teacher at number three.
Ouch.
I did not expect that Green Lantern would fall 66%. I don't think that was unreasonable of me to expect it would not fall that far, because that is ridiculous.
No. Anyone who saw that movie should have expected it to drop.
No, I enjoyed that movie.
I'm very sorry for you and your poor taste, but it was a bad movie.
It was not that bad.
It dropped 66% after the first week.
Because people like...
Explain to me how it's not bad.
Because people like you bad-talked it.
you mean all the people who went to go see it and didn't like it?
Those people were wrong.
I'm just saying. Actually, you know, Paul agrees with you, but everybody else...
And Paul is right. Yeah, and so to carry over a conversation that started in Funny Books, one of Aaron's big complaints about it was that... Oh, Sinestro was in no way. They didn't set up at all the Sinestro plot where, spoiler, he takes the yellow ring at the end.
It's true.
Except for the fact that his story arc through that movie was the exact same story arc that was presented for the Emperor throughout the prequels, with the only exception being a whole hell of a lot less hand-wringing and glary looks. Well, it was the exact same story arc. We're going to set it. I'm going to push for making this weapon and push and push and push when everybody's like, no, we can do it. No, we need the yellow ring. That's going to be the only weapon that is going to be useful. And it will be for me because I am so awesome. So let's make this yellow ring because awesome me needs it to fight against bad things.
Yeah, but the difference is that Sinestro is not a Sith Lord. Sinestro was the...
His name is Sinestro, so of course he is.
Right, but he's the epitome. At this point, he's the epitome of the Green Lanterns. He's the most highly revered and respected Green Lantern. And, yeah, just coming out of nowhere, I mean, that's like saying that Palpatine came out and became the Sith Lord with no build-up to it. Instead of having six movies.
Except for the fact that we knew that he was a bad guy. Because we knew he was Palpatine because of the first three movies. Right.
And knowing what we know about Sinestro, we know that his story...
His name was Sinestro!
But they all have the same reason to why he turns to the Yellow Ring. And none of them have to do with some intricate plot to get them to forge the Yellow Ring. The Yellow Ring's not more powerful than the Green Ring.
God forbid we have an intricate, interesting plot that creates the Yellow Ring.
But it's not interesting. It's not intricate. It's asinine because it makes no sense.
Did you watch First Flight?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't this the same story?
No, it's not. It's not the same plot as First Flight. First Flight would have been... If they'd done First Flight as a live-action movie, that would have been much better.
But, I mean, Sinestro getting the... I might have missed something. Move on.
I mean, Sinestro, in First Flight, as I recall, and I could be wrong. It's been a while since I saw it. It's been about a year. But I'm pretty sure in First Flight, they show him oppressing his world and being a tyrant. And then the Green Lantern strip him of his ring. And then he turns to the yellow.
Well, how's that interesting?
Because it shows how, you know, you can take order and turn it to tyranny.
As I recall, he just, like...
I love how productive Jonathan's being during our argument.
As I recall, Sinestro was just... That might be why I missed some of the conversation.
Are you watching First Flight right now?
Look at Twitter.
No, apparently somebody's not looking at Twitter.
No, I'm not, no.
Anyway, I might have just tweeted that everybody that I follow needs to call the voicemail line and say that Andrew is wrong. But
I'm actually doing that right now.
Jesus Christ. No, it's
just... remember, only silence works in your favor, sir.
Come on, Flight. All right, should we just skip this and move on?
Well, I just want to add in closing this little dialogue that This audio of Tony going, awesome me, clip that so we can use it as a promo later for something.
That works. I have no problem with that. So, going all the way back to my point.
Awesome you.
Awesome me. Did not expect Bad Teacher to make $30 million. And did not expect Green Lantern to fall 66%. That was my first mistake. My second mistake was that I expected Super 8 to fall farther than it did and Mr. Popper's Penguins to not lose as much as it did. But they lost 44 and 45% respectively. So they pretty much just shifted down from where they were last week. I expected a swap that there was not. So I lost 2 points for my first mistake and 2 points for my second mistake. And I get a 21 for the week. Hence my predicted 4-point swing, Jonathan. I predicted that. I called it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And
so
what a curve there.
So you bet against yourself like Pete Rose.
Hey.
You stacked the deck.
That worked out okay for him, didn't it? I mean, we all still talk about him.
Which I think is really all that matters to him.
Well, we should make that reference explicit. The 4-point swing. I am now tied.
We are tied. We are tied.
We are tied.
26 weeks in, we are tied.
And technically, wow. I am above you.
You're above me on the leaderboard because you had a better score this week than I did. Yes.
That's right.
That is an established sword pattern that I set up on the website.
What I would do is change your name to Anthony and then do it in alphabetical order.
Hey, guess what? My phone's going off. You probably just heard it buzz and chime because just got a new voicemail.
Well, hell, let's play it on the air.
That's
put speakerphone on,
fantastic.
Tony.
Yeah, give me just a second. Chat amongst yourselves while I cue that voicemail up. This is going to be interesting. We won't have heard this live until just now.
Anything's better than listening to Jonathan go on about his fetish about being on top of people again.
But look, let me look up what the handkerchief code for that is.
Unable to transcribe this message. It's 4 seconds long.
Well, that's Andrew's long.
Yeah,
in the wrong.
Wait. Wait. I think that was Rich.
Andrew is in the wrong.
Yeah, that's Rich. Told ya.
That's awesome. Brilliant. Rich is in Denver?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Is it a Denver area code?
Well, it's saying Denver, Colorado next to it.
It might be Tim White.
Oh, that could be it. It's a 303 number, so that might be Tim. I don't have a name associated with that number, but let's one more time.
Andrew is in the wrong.
Yeah, that's Tim.
That is definitely
that's
Tim.
I've been listening to WTF Are We Doing? That's Tim. Which, by the way, WTF Are We Doing is a really good podcast. Nothing to do with movies, but
so let me see this. That's roughly 45 seconds after Jonathan puts out his call. We already have our first responded.
Yeah. I think we need to have Jonathan start marketing our books. Deuce.
Amen.
Because he gets results.
We're
just shouting into the wind, but this guy, he's got skills.
He gets results.
I have a quick turnaround time.
I heard that about you.
I don't know what the handkerchief code for that one is either. However, navy blue in the left pocket indicates on top.
All right.
So coming out this weekend, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Larry Crown featuring the always lovable Tom Hanks and Monte Carlo. I don't think anyone here cares about it.
Mentally might. I have no idea, though. I wonder what her pick is going to be with that.
She did not participate this last week. She was at camp, by the way, just so everybody's aware. By the way, I do have one thing to say because I screwed up in Backseat Box Office again. In the results show.
So here's our recurring segment. Tony's corrections, retractions, and apologies.
We might as well. We should get some bumper music for it. So William Paul sent in a voicemail that I did not see in my Dropbox. So
Tony.
Totally on me. which kind of sucked because aside from that, we only had one other voicemail, so I only played one voicemail in the voicemail show. So people send in some voicemail.
Hey, can I just say that Thad from Arizona from Mesa?
Tad.
Apologies. From Mesa?
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling he either works in the train industry or works right next to the trains. Because every time he leaves a voicemail, you can hear trains in the background.
Yeah, either trains or like wildlife.
Well, and my son is insane about trains. He actually took the day off from school one day to go down to see the 844 and was coming through town. And I would love some train audio. That's all I'm saying.
If you want train audio, there's a train that passes 2 miles from my house. If I hold a microphone out certain times a day, I can just hear it.
I mean, when we go to my in-laws, they have a train just down the hill from where they live. And every time, I'll give you an example. Riding his bike. Just learn how to do it without train wheels. He hears this whistle, and all of a sudden he jumps off, is running away from his bike as fast as he can. We're like, what's wrong? He's like, train! We're like, okay.
That's what I say whenever I hear the band on the radio. I switch it immediately.
You jump off.
I go train! I just switch the station as fast as I can.
Throw the door open, jump out of the car.
Speaking of which, I do have some audio. Drops of Jupiter, Calling All Angels, and Meet Virginia. If you need some train audio, I've got that.
You know, Meet Virginia was a terrible album.
I think they're all terrible, but be that as it may, let's move on.
So, Monte Carlo retelling A Prince and the Pauper with teenage girls in Italy. No, it's in France with poor American student being noticed for like European actress movie star.
What about the Pink Floyd movie, Dark Side of the Moon? Is that
no? That's. No, that's not. That's a common mistake I've been seeing a lot in the media these days. No, it's actually the new Michael Bay film. But they used Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon as their soundtrack.
You know, there's not really a Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, I know. Hey, guess what?
Another voicemail?
Hi, this is Rick, and I just wanted to say that Andrew is wrong.
Who is Rick?
Rich. It's Rich.
Oh, that was Rich?
Central South Carolina.
No, that's not Rich.
That's not Rich.
It may not be Rich. Rich just told me. Oh, it's Rich McKee.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
RMC.
This is fantastic. What's so awesome is that they're coming in live. We don't even have to edit them in later. You just play them as they come in.
Yeah, new Transformers movie. Michael Bay opening in 4,000 theaters, and I think we can make the same offer we did last weekend. If you don't pick Transformers as your number one pick, we'll change it for you.
That's fair. That's
because it doesn't matter how bad the movies are, how much you hate Michael Bay, or how much you hate Transformers, it's going to be number one.
Does anyone really hate Michael Bay?
Yeah. No,
there are people that do. I don't understand it because Michael Bay's biggest crime is that he understands what the least common denominator wants.
Yeah.
And he provides it.
I don't think he's a great director, but...
Yeah.
Hey, didn't he do The Rock, though? That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah. The Rock was great.
Yeah. So, Michael Bay is like he's like the wonder of movies. And I mean wonder bread. he just makes white bread. It's versatile. Everybody likes it. Some people say they don't. They say it's bad for them. They don't really want it. But they'll take it.
There's also something to be said for, some of his pictures are decent. Some of them are horrible. But something to be said for being able to direct a pretty decent-sized picture with a lot of explosions that are not all computer-generated. I mean, that's... These days, it's...
Michael Bay's movies are fun to watch one time.
Yeah,
for me. I mean, I don't ever feel the need to see him multiple times. That's not a bad thing. I still enjoy the experience once. Though apparently, Adam is just infatuated with Revenge of the Fallen.
I've never seen it.
He has apparently seen that movie more times than anyone.
Who's the lead in that? The the
Shia
woman.
LaBeouf. Oh, Megan Fox.
Yeah, no. I think it's because of the way they shoot her, perhaps, in that film.
The lead in that film is Optimus Prime.
Oh, really? Is it the way they shoot him? I don't think that
Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf are just bit players in that movie.
I heard that most of that movie was just looking at Megan Fox.
Not as much as you would want.
That's a bummer.
You got more Megan Fox in the first one than you did in the second.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's my take on it.
All right. I don't want to talk about Larry Crown.
Well, here's Larry Crown. It's a Tom Hanks vehicle. And what's her name?
We don't even need to talk about her. Yeah. I can't stand her.
Tom Hanks goes back to school, rides a scooter, falls in love with Julia Roberts. Done. Moving on.
Who drinks and wears high heels?
I like Tom Hanks. Can't stand Julia Roberts.
Yeah, she could probably take her or leave her, but
if she dies in the movie, I will see it.
I think Julia Roberts is more attractive than Megan Fox.
I disagree with that.
I cannot abide by that logic.
Voicemails, really? We gotta get them coming in now. Let's do this. Come on, people.
I mean, she looked pretty good in Pretty Woman.
No. Mm.
She did look good in Pretty Woman, but that was like 20 years ago.
No, I mean, you can't compare Julia Roberts to today with Megan Fox today, I don't think. I mean, that's like a 30-year swing.
You can't compare Julia Roberts in any period to Megan Fox today.
I'd probably agree with that. And Tony's not even crazy about Megan Fox.
I'm not crazy about Megan Fox, but from a purely technical standpoint, Megan Fox is more attractive than Julia Roberts.
Her last name is Fox. I mean, Julia Roberts should have changed her last name to Hot or something. Would have been better marketing.
That's it. So those are the three new movies coming up. And now I guess either Jonathan or I should probably give our picks. Jonathan, go ahead. You're top of the combined leaders board.
Just further proof that you copied off of me.
And there you go. In fact, I'm going to give the exact same picks you do, and then you can actually say I copied off you.
All right. Well, the default number one then is Transformers.
Yep.
I'm pretty much just going to go down the line, I guess, from there. I'm going to say Cars 2 is at number 2. Bad Teacher is at number 3. Larry Crown at number 4 and Monte Carlo at number 5. I don't think they've got enough to... I mean, because even if you figure, I don't know, 50% drop on Bad Teacher, I just don't see him pulling in $16, $17, $18 million. I don't see him doing it. I see him beating Green Lantern, especially if it has another massive drop-off. But, and then, you know, Monte Carlo is not going to... I don't think it's going to pull in the crowd that Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts will. So there's my picks.
All right. I'm similar, but not quite copying. I think you made one crucial misstep, which I'm surprised because you taught me this lesson, but I'll give you credit for it. So I'm taking Transformers number 1. I don't know who wouldn't.
The student becomes the teacher.
Number 2. I'm not to that part yet.
Oh,
Cars
okay.
2, number 2. No. His mistake doesn't come till later in the order.
I think I know what the mistake I made was, but
yeah. So number 3, Bad Teacher. Number 4, I'm going to put Larry Crown. And then number 5, I'm going to put Green Lantern, because in case Monte Carlo pulls a Take Me Home Tonight or Dylan Dog, it won't hurt me as much if I just leave it off.
That's a good point.
That is a great point.
Good point.
I learned that from a smart guy. I'm surprised he'll take his own advice.
That is a good point. I had forgotten my own. I'm sorry. I learned about the jellies, the sex bracelets, and the handkerchief code, and I'm working a phone line to get people to call. I mean, this has been a rough podcast for me. I have a lot to keep track of
between working the party line and.
Well, I mean, it is important to know what the difference is between orange and coral is when you're wearing a handkerchief in your back pocket.
What we're saying is we should now change this to the back pocket producers. Is that
no
back pocket box office?
if there were a way to like actually the album art that we put on each episode change the color of it.
You know, I think
that our initials would be BP, and that we know that's not going to be a good marketing move for us.
I mean, is there a free color that we could take and, you know, we could claim that wearing it in a certain whichever pocket means that you're interested in listening to the Backseat Producers?
You know, when they have gotten...
Put that on the Wikipedia page.
Into, like, doilies and...
Doilies!
Camouflage. So they're going into patterns in order to find certain things. I don't think it's you're going to find
a free color.
Free color.
All right. I got to tell you, we
if you have a rolled up movie poster in your back pocket...
On iTunes, you should categorize this one as education, Tony. This is an education podcast.
This
now.
Is true.
We are not just about movies anymore.
Educating the masses.
So those are my picks. Tony.
All right. So I'm going to be different even from you guys. Mm. Not in my number one pick, though, because that would be dumb. I've got Transformers at number one, Cars at number two. I have a feeling that that Bad Teacher is probably not going to crack 20 million this week. And I have a feeling with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts in a movie, they could very well carry it over 20, regardless of it looking like a stupid movie. because I see this audience skewing older. And looking at the other movies that are out that are in main release this week, you've got Transformers and Cars and Bad Teacher and Green Lantern. And there is nothing that really speaks to a crowd over the age of like 50.
Mr. Popper's Penguins?
No.
Maybe over 50 weeks.
Yeah.
50 weeks.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that that Larry Crown's going to come in at number three, and Bad Teacher at number four, and I'm going to use the same logic that Andrew just used.
Jonathan director, I like to call him.
you know, I actually had MC written on my list because I abbreviate everything because I'm not going to write out whole words, but I... As Andrew was speaking, I scratched that out and put GL. So I've got Transformers at one, Cars at two, Larry Crown at three, Bad Teacher at number four, and Green Lantern at number five.
That's all right. I'm okay with being 25 next week while you guys aren't. So
that'll put you ahead of me.
Yeah. Of course, if Monte Carlo comes out at eight.
Yeah, that's going to be rough.
Then I... arise like a phoenix from the ashes and take the lead once again.
I'm
over here being awesome.
I definitely kind of wish I had remembered my own advice, but I'll go with it. I'm sticking with it.
All right. Well,
there's even the chance that, okay, you know, let's say Green Lantern loses 60%. It's going to be around 6 million. If Super 8 loses around 50%, it'll be around 6 million. So God knows what those two are going to do. Yeah. They could even flip-flop between Super 8 and Green Lantern.
It could.
This is not a standard summer week. Like, oh, it's obvious what's going to happen. This is not one of those weeks. So.
Well,
no, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah, I think I don't think Monte Carlo is going to cause that much of a ripple in the effect. I think Larry Crown has more the potential of doing that.
Yeah, well, Larry Crown, and then how badly Green Lantern's going to do is, you know,
it's going to
be a factor.
I mean, it's a bad movie. It's probably
it could or it movie. Could recover. I mean, it may just not lose as much.
Yeah,
it could
lose 40. It could lose 80. You know,
right?
That's
probably not 80, but
I mean, if Tony gets the word out that Green Lantern's a good movie, people might rally to
between myself and Tim.
Jonathan, tweet about how good Green Lantern is.
I'm sorry, not Tim, but Paul. It was Paul. Pauls have to stick together.
Well, if I'm going to tweet about any movie, I'm going to encourage people to go see Monte Carlo. Because
we actually...
It is a fantastic reprisal of the classic story.
You know, knowing
Kirby
the people
goes to Monte Carlo? Is that the one you're talking about?
The Prince and the Pauper.
Oh. I always get those two confused. Anyway, go ahead.
Knowing the people who follow you on Twitter, Jonathan, I don't see them rallying to go see Monte Carlo, no matter how much influence and sway you have on them.
I don't know. If I include, you know, go see Monte Carlo because it's going to screw over Andrew.
Well, then you might get results then, yeah. Yeah, that's possible. Any more voicemails there, Tony?
No, not yet.
That's a shame.
I did mention that we were playing them live. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody else.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, we're not done, though, because we still have Deuce's picks here.
This is true.
Yeah.
We have more opportunity for more voicemails.
Just got to make a couple of service announcements. One, Herbie of Goes to Monte Carlo is a pretty darn fine movie. Two, I'm not a competitive guy, but since Tony picked Cars and not Cars 2 to finish in the top five, I think he's going to lose a lot of points next week. Three, I will give my top five picks. Transformers, Dark of the Moon, not to confuse with the other two Transformers, will be number one.
I don't think there's any danger of that.
And then two will be Cars 2. I think that Larry Crown will be number three. I think that Super 8 will stay at number 4. And I think Bad Teacher will be at number 5.
All right.
There you go.
Not sure where I am or what just happened, but okay.
What did you pick again?
Oh, Transformers.
He had Super 8 at number 4 and Bad Teacher at number 5.
You know, I thought I heard that, but I wasn't really sure.
I know you both think I'm wrong.
Hey, Boost. Hey, Deuce blazes his own trail. He's not.
Yeah, Super 8 will be. I think Super 8 will hold at number 4, and Bad Teacher will be number 5.
What we all have to realize is he's also got a genie in his back pocket that he can use to retroactively edit the podcast at any time.
Deuce, have you seen the weekend like numbers? How much money each of these pulled in?
Yeah, I've got it in front of me actually.
Okay,
but the thing is. Who's going to go see Bad Teacher if they're all going to see if that crowd's all going to go see Transformers? Who's going to go see Bad Teacher?
Well, Bad Teacher's a rated R comedy.
Yeah, but it's still aimed at teenagers. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, it's still aimed at young adults.
And so I think it's more aimed at middle-aged folks, actually.
Well, they'll all be seeing Larry Crown, too, so... My theory is just that Super 8 has a lot of like word of mouth stuff and it keeps staying strong, so I think it'll stay at number 4. Unless they're closing a bunch of theaters, and I don't know about that.
I mean, we never know.
If they're closing a lot of showings of that film, then maybe I'm wrong. But
you know, one thing I didn't even think to look at, what are the theater counts on these?
2,700 for Larry Crown, 24 for Monte Carlo, and over 4,000 for. What happened?
Oh.
Transformers.
Oh.
Hey, Jonathan, on the handkerchief code,
poorly again.
What does having a genie in your pocket mean?
Hey, rub it and find out.
I hope you guys consult me about this before going on. Well, how many screens is Super 8 going to be at? Do you know?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
It was last week on 3,400.
Yeah. Yep.
But I would bet that is not going to be maintained with a movie the size of Transformers coming out.
Well, that's a good point.
Super 8 actually gained 16 last weekend.
I still don't get that.
It's being marketed in a different way than the other four movies.
It's a good movie, too.
Hey, guess what? More voicemail.
Hey, this is Chibi from the internet.
Oh, God damn it, Chibi.
Andrew, you're so wrong.
Where's my Twitters?
Yeah. I knew that was Chibi before I looked at the phone number. Oh, boy. It even says on my phone, voicemail from Great Mr. Chibi.
Well, gentlemen, I don't care how my picks turn out because this has been the most successful podcast I've ever been on.
Between getting a 25
getting tying for first place among the hosts and getting three voicemails while we are actively recording this episode.
I learned a lot about handkerchiefs too.
and bracelets.
I think we all learned something today, Tony.
It's a very special episode.
It is.
Backseat Box Office.
This week, a very special episode of Backseat Box Office. I'll just make one shameless plug for my book. It's people who read it like it. It's getting good reviews. So go to thebostonconnection.com, connection with an X. Check it out. It's on sale at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and all you have to do is search for Tony Deuce on either one of those. It's real easy to find. While you're at it, you can search for Tony Mast. You can find my ebook,
Leaving My Life in St. Louis.
It's fantastic.
It's a good short story.
It will likely make you cry.
Mine won't make you cry.
At the very least, you'll probably want to give me a hug after you're done reading it.
Well played, Andrew.
Thank you.
I missed that. What?
Check your Twitter.
Oh, God. What now? Oh, this has been enjoyable.
It's going to be a lot of editing to make this make Jonathan look bad. But I think I'm up to it. I'm going to put a solid 8 hours in editing tomorrow. It'll come out okay.
Thanks for having me on. It's good fun.
I think we only need one more set of picks from you, and you lose your asterisk.
Really? Well, sounds like an exciting time. I'll have to prepare for
There's
that.
A handkerchief for that?
I hope
I don't
not.
See one.
Oh,
for losing your asterisk.
I'm going to feel something Barry Bonds will never feel, and there's something to be said for that.
Oh. And with that, a good night.